Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. In March, the Trump administration issued Executive Order 14238. It's titled Reducing the Scope of the Federal Bureaucracy. The order seeks to dramatically downsize or completely eliminate seven federal agencies, including the Institute of Museum and Library Services. Trump's executive order reads in part, quote, "Non-statutory components and functions of the following governmental entities shall be eliminated to the maximum extent consistent with applicable law, and such entities shall reduce the performance of their statutory functions and associated personnel to the minimum presence and function required by law," end quote. Due to this executive order, the State Library of Oregon risks losing millions of dollars in federal funding that it relies on for a quarter of its annual budget. Funds from the state also support a number of critical services used by county libraries across Oregon. Joining me in the studio is Carrie May. Carrie has been the director of Jackson County Library Services since 2018. She serves on the Oregon Library Association's Legislative Committee, the Oregon Broadband Advisory Council, and the Community Advisory Board for Southern Oregon PBS. Welcome to the Exchange, Carrie.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
So my first question is, tell me how this executive order has impacted your operations here in Jackson County.
The executive order causes concerns for us across the state in that we receive funding and support through the State Library of Oregon, primarily in three ways. They provide staff assistance that help us with consulting and questions that may come up through the year, as well as statewide resources such as the databases online, the Northwest Digital Heritage Library, and AnswerLand, which is a virtual reference service. The third area is subgrants that they award in a competitive process out to libraries across the state that help us fund innovative projects that we may not be able to fund out of our own budgets. And that is an area that has been, all three of those areas are ones that are under concern if the federal funding does go away at the state level.
So how are you funded primarily?
At the local level here in Jackson County, we are funded by property tax, a mill levy on your property tax. And as a special district, that is a dedicated funding source that comes directly to Jackson County Library.
Okay, and what's your budget?
Our budget is $16 million annually.
Okay, and so you're the head of how many buildings, how many people?
The Jackson County Library District is a 15-branch system serving the entirety of Jackson County, which is about 225,000 people right now.
Okay, and how many people on your staff?
I have about 200 people on staff.
Okay, so tell me about your services, including how the library addresses digital equity.
Our library provides a robust collection that is available through all of our branches, as well as online digital resources and databases, as well as online materials. We do have a technology education department that provides digital literacy assistance. We do both one-on-one training as well as computer classes that help people navigate the online world. And we recognize that not everybody has access to digital resources or the internet at their homes. And so part of what we also provide is computers and Wi-Fi internet access through our branch libraries.
Well, one of the things, and we were talking about this before we came on the air, is that the Trump administration is not only trying to defund libraries and schools and museums, but also media. And there's a common thread. We're all mass influencers. We all have access to information that we provide to the public. And libraries are warehouses of history. And so this seems to be, there seems to be some sort of concern on the part of the administration about the kinds of information that students have access to. So I've just been wondering, in my lifetime, this seems unprecedented that there would be such an attack. Do you know why?
You know, if we had that answer, I think that magic bullet would solve so many problems in our world. But as I've been reflecting on this, Thomas Jefferson donated the first books to a public library in the United States. And his belief was that an educated citizenry is a cornerstone to democracy. And so if we go back to that being one of the founding purposes for public libraries in America, that brings us even more into question. You know, the library is a repository of a variety of viewpoints and a variety of pieces of history that allow people to discover for themselves what they're curious about and what they want to know more about.
I think you're touching on something. That may be the point. Education, what kind of education, and allowing people to discover for themselves might be part of that concern. I think we've been given a clue. Let me bring this up. We have the upcoming 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence next year. And the Trump administration in January issued Executive Order 14189, which establishes and funds Task Force 250. Mm. And I think there seems to be a bit of an irony occurring. And what I mean by that is that federal funding is being extended for this new operation to oversee the celebration of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence next year, while at the same time, there's defunding of libraries and media and museums and schools, which are the traditional warehouses for American history. Are your libraries preparing any special celebrations for the historical marker next year?
Not yet. That seems a long way in the future when we're worried about how we're going to make it through the next fiscal year.
Yeah, I give you that. So also back in March, the Trump administration issued another executive order, number 14253, pertaining to the Department of the Interior, titled Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. Aren't libraries and museums the places for resources of American history?
Absolutely. And I think that we always strive to keep our collections robust and inclusive and reflective of the diverse viewpoints about what has happened in history. We have a collection development policy that helps guide how we add materials to our collection and also how we take them out of our collection. There have been times in history where new information comes out that makes some of the information in our collections outdated. So we do try to keep on top of that and try to keep our collections fresh. At one point, nobody had landed on the moon. So if you still have books from the 1960s on your shelves and they don't talk about space exploration, those are no longer accurate reflections of history of America.
So you update.
Correct.
Okay. So my guest is Carrie May. She's the director of Jackson County Library Services. It seems to me that there's this focus on access and control of information. And libraries are a source of access and control of information, as are schools, as is media. And Trump's executive order 14253 reads in part, and I'll quote, Independence National Historical Park was created to protect the historic places associated with the birth of the American Republic, standing as icons of freedom and democratic ideals for people around the world. The centerpiece of this park is Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the United States Constitution were debated. The universal principles of freedom and democracy set forth in these documents are of fundamental importance to American history. The Secretary of the Interior shall determine whether, since January 1st, 2020, public monuments, memorials, statues, markers, or similar properties have been removed or changed to perpetuate a false reconstruction of American history, inappropriately minimize the value of certain historical events or figures, or include any other improper partisan ideology, end quote. As a librarian, I hate to put you on the spot, but you're a librarian, and you manage materials and content that address American history. What do you think the president means by improper partisan ideology, and how will the Secretary of Interior recognize it?
Well, I hope he comes to the library and does some research, right? You know, a lot of times history is often told by the victors. It's often told by the people who put the pen on paper first. And what we have at the library is different points of view that point to the same historic moment, right? And particularly if we have source materials collectively through our libraries, that is what helps determine what is the true part of history.
Different perspectives from the contemporary viewpoint of people that lived at the time.
Correct. So at the library, our spaces are a foundation for the infrastructure of putting that, weaving that history together. And it's also a place where people can come and witness and explore that exploration that historians have left for us. They're a place where we can discover those stories and use that narrative to find our places in the world. And so hopefully, as you know, the executive order, as they look at that, they're looking at all of those pieces of information together.
Well, I'm hoping that too. This executive order further instructs the Secretary of the Interior to do this, quote, take action to ensure any properties within the department's jurisdiction do not contain descriptions, depictions, or other content that inappropriately disparage Americans past or living, including persons living in colonial times, and instead focus on the greatness of the achievements and the progress of the American people, end quote. Does that put you guys in trouble?
Probably. But you know what? I think that libraries have been making trouble for decades, and this will be nothing new in that arena. But I think, you know, really the trouble lies in who gets to rewrite history, and this will be a part of history in the future that people are going to look back at 2025 and wonder where this fits in that overall history of our country.
So what's being done here in the state to counter this political war?
So in the state of Oregon, in this last legislative session, Lou Frederick introduced Senate Bill 1098, mm-hmm. which is a piece of legislation that protects students' right to read, learn, and share ideas free from discriminatory censorship. So the law prohibits book bans for materials that are protecting or describing a protected class. So Oregon state law says that you can't discriminate against people for a variety of reasons. And this law says that books cannot be removed from a curriculum or a school library because of that representing a minority class.
So the state is drawing a line in the sand.
Yes.
Against the federal government's encroachment.
Protecting us to the extent that we can here locally, the rights of individuals to access the variety of information that is available.
Okay, so I'm glad to hear that Oregon is standing up.
Yes.
And seeking to protect the rights of the residents here. But it appears to me that the Trump administration is concerned about how white American history is depicted, given his reference to the antebellum era before the Civil War, when there were no black citizens of America. As a librarian, in your opinion, what might constitute a false reconstruction of American history?
You know, our job at the library is not to tell history, but provide access to the materials in history. And so I think that what would become a false narrative would be a repression of voices that don't reflect that majority opinion.
Oh, that was a little jujitsu right there. So we recently witnessed the courts rule in favor of the Trump administration in L.A., where U.S. military and National Guard troops were sent by his administration, despite objections from California's governor and L.A. mayor. What's the contingency plan if the lawsuit by a coalition of state libraries against the administration fails?
So at this time, the funding for state libraries through the Institute Museum of Library Services, Library Services and Technologies Act, has been authorized for the current fiscal year. And so the contingency plan is looking into the future and looking at what might happen if the current federal budget that is below this in front of the Senate right now includes $6 million to gracefully shut down the IMLS. And so it is that conversation and that debate at the federal level that we'll need support to talk to our state and our federal representatives and say it's really important for us to keep this moving forward.
Okay. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We need a bigger show. That's all the time we have. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
My guest was Carrie May, Director of Jackson County Library Services.